Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
For new subscribers, we offer our 50% off promo code, 2022 half off. And you go to VRTrader.com and just enter that in the promo code slot. Again, 50% off. For any time frame or subscription you choose, or multiple subscriptions if you wish. Again, 2022 half off. And also, I generally make the disclaimer, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, just a newsletter publisher.
So, we've seen on the stock markets, once again, a major corrective area like we saw in August. Is this telling us, here we go, this is going to be the recession, this is going to be, you know, a bear market, run for the hills, or was it just a minor adjustment?
Well, you know, you got the election coming up here in the U.S., and there's so much manipulation going on in the markets this time of year, and, you know, I'm a big follower of that theory. You know, many don't believe it, but, you know, we do have government intervention in the markets, the Equity Stabilization Fund and the Plunge Protection Team, and literally not discussed at all in the media. And then you've got Jay Powell at the Federal Reserve, and we don't know whether he's acting politically or not. But, you know, a lot of it is hinging, supposedly, this interest rate cut that everybody has been salivating about for literally a year, almost a year, coming up supposedly on September 18th, and Jay Powell is Jackson Hole meeting, you know, was basically saying that, you know, he's supportive of, you know, the job situation. You know, the Federal Reserve has a lot of mandates. One of it is full employment, lower or steady interest rates, you know, and they just, you know, they just have their directions mixed up a little bit, obviously. So now we have this report on Friday, which everybody is holding their breath about. This is a Bureau of Labor Statistics report. And the question is, will there be a weaker job labor market reported? And, you know, I call the BLS the Bureau of Lying Statistics. We already showed how they, you know, revise and change their numbers. Just recently, there was an 800,000 job number, 800,000 number change. And, you know, this has been going on for the longest time, and we know a lot of government statistics exclude a lot of key data, as we discussed off-air, you know, like food and energy, but that doesn't apply to the labor report. It's just that the government numbers, as a general rule, are not reliable. So I presume if the jobs come down and we have more unemployment, and you and I can have a whole discussion about this. I know you have a bit of an insight into this as well, but the theory is if it's down, that he's more likely to lower rates, which I think is a given anyway, but would he lower more? And the question is, does that really make a difference? You know, if we're in a recession anyway, a lot of statistics say that, you know, that says, well, the stock market really has discounted something that really doesn't exist, and we are in a recession, and the market should actually go down. But, you know, all the traders out there, you know, would probably jump on a 50-point rate cut, and maybe even the 25-point rate cut as a reason to try to rally the market. And again, you've got all these manipulative forces in the election and so many variables out there. So it's a very treacherous time for traders because, you know, history says many times when the Fed starts to lower rates, stock market actually goes down, not up, because it's reflecting some negative event. So, you know, it's really going to be interesting how this all plays out. As a trader, you know, you pretty much take it a day at a time. You just wait for this time to pass. But traditionally, you know, you have a weak September. Everybody's aware of that. It's plastered all over the walls on Wall Street. And we had a little sell-off here the last few days. And, you know, it could be temporary, as you just suggested. And it could rally back and won't have the big, big normal September-October crash type scenario, which, you know, is not usual, but often does happen. So, you know, there could be another outlier event. We've had so many outlier events already. The list is long already this past year in terms of things that came from left field that nobody expected. And, you know, we can just, you know, we don't have to go through all the geopolitical and geocosmic events out there that have been unfolding this past year. But despite that, the market seemed to manage to come back. And that's because I believe in the intervention of the government and others to try to support the market here in a political situation. So we'll see how it all plays out. We played the short side here a little bit last week or so, a couple times. And, you know, mentioned that to our readers that was worth a trade out there. And, you know, the question is, you know, could this possibly be the beginning of a bear market, as you indicated, is a possibility? I don't know. It's hard to say with an election that would actually happen. There would have to be some dramatic, you know, geopolitical or geocosmic event to throw the market into a kilter, and anything could happen. We've seen this happen. So at the moment, I'm just assuming it's steady as she goes. The Fed's out there here in September, going to manipulate the rates down a little bit, maybe encourage the market for false reasons, but, you know, maybe that'll happen. And a lot will depend on what the election does in November. You know, neither side probably will accept the outcome, and it could end up going into the Supreme Court as it did, you know, a couple decades ago. And what does that do to the market? You know, so, you know, maybe there is turmoil after November and the market does nosedive for a while. We got to watch the numbers. So the numbers right now technically show the market hit a little top. And we have to wait and see how it plays out between now and the end of the month. So, you know, different sectors are doing different things. You know, the gold market pulled back a little bit with the market. As I mentioned in our previous interview, you generally see all these markets move together. Bitcoin did the same thing. So, you know, a lot of the speculative money was out of the market. All the markets tended to pull back. We saw crude oil really weak the last week or so. Which traditionally is bullish for the market because that lowers energy costs, and that sort of translates into putting more money into consumers' pockets at some point. So if you're bullish, the fact that crude oil pulled off here a little bit is actually a bit of a positive. And commodities as a rule here pulled back as well, gold not as much, but other commodities, even copper, had a pullback. So the general rule is if you see commodity prices come down, it's not necessarily a good sign for the growth in the economy, but it says there's less inflation, and that usually helps the, you know, the cost of producing goods, and that translates into more profits for the companies, and that's actually sort of bullish for the market. So a lot of cross currents here at work, and the crude oil decline perhaps could be related to anticipating a Trump victory, and more production of oil, that perhaps, which could depress prices a bit. So there's so many variables to be watching now. I mean, it's a safe bet for me is, you know, this is a good time, unless you're trading day to day, and there's always individual stocks. We always find something that's moving, but, you know, it's a good time to sit in treasury bills and, you know, just sit it out a little bit because of the volatility here and see how this all plays out. I mean, look at the Dow, went over 40,000. We had a huge move in the market. The high tech stocks, I mean, so much has happened in the last several months. I mean, if you just took money out of the market and just put it away somewhere in safe interest bearing, you know, securities, you're probably better off this time of year. And considering how much of a move we've made, you know, there's bulls, bears, and pigs. You know, we've had a huge move, and you don't always have to be in the market, even though long term you can argue otherwise. But after such a huge move, I think, you know, it's a good time to rest and sort of let the, you know, let the dust settle where it's going to settle.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. Mark, what's the picture for gold? Is it going to help you if we do have a massive downturn in the stock markets?
You know, they generally throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's sort of the problem. You know, history says when you get huge sell-offs in the market, even back into the crash way back in 1987, I mean, gold went down. I mean, it's, of course, that's many prices, years, and time, but to talk about in any event, there is risk. But, you know, my position is, you know, it's already broken out of a multi-year move, or we're in a multi-year advance underway, and you just have to be prepared for these $200-$300 corrections in an uptrend, which ultimately I think will carry it substantially higher. What we did for the newsletter people is we put on a hedge. You know, we bought a couple inverse ETFs, silver and gold, and we're marginally profitable in those, you know, on paper, just as a hedge, but we kept our gold positions, you know, just because of my long-term view that, you know, we had mentioned 2,700 is a reasonable target. We already got to 25-something, and 35 to 3,700 is the next big target, but that could be a year or two out. And, you know, if you're just willing to hang in there, I think the trend's your friend, as it says, but look at the 20-year or 30-year time frame you have to discuss there. I mean, there is volatility. I mean, you know, so back in 2003, 2004, you know, time frame, you know, you're sitting, you know, under $1,000 an ounce, and you know, now suddenly we're way up here at 2,500. So you're talking a lot of time, you know, 10, 15 years of patience if you really believe the big picture is up, which I do. So we're in there, and just a couple little hedges, and I'm prepared that if the market had a big nosedive, that, you know, gold could pull off, just because if selling occurs, sometimes people on margin have to sell off positions, and some of them are leveraged, and sometimes that affects some of the gold shares and gold itself, and it could be, you know, a bit of a correction. But I think the bottom line is governments are out there buying it. And I think some of the manipulation that's been going on in the gold market for decades, you know, may have changed here a little bit because of the view of the central bankers that they really want to own the stuff. So bottom line, I'm remaining bullish.
If you're worried about a downturn in the stock markets, should you turn to things that seem to be quite reliable, utilities, tobacco companies, things like that?
Absolutely. But, you know, when the markets all come down, it's like your question about gold. You mean sometimes selling comes into even to some of the stronger stocks, but we've seen some consumer stocks like Coca-Cola and so forth, and Johnson & Johnson, and General Mills, and some of these, you know, popular stocks that, you know, are, you know, not so much related to the economy, but to related to, you know, consumer needs, hold up in these environments. And some of these stocks have done well recently. So, those are alternative places. But, you know, when the market has a quote unquote crash, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, everything comes down. I mean, maybe some less than others. This is a tough time of year, but, you know, with so many variables out there and with political influences and so forth, it's really a tough call. So we're, you know, I'm taking the position is, you know, it's not a bad time to put some money into some safe places and see how this all plays out. And if you're in the stock market for the big picture long term, and, you know, many are, then you just wait it out. And, you know, if there's a 10-20% correction or so, you just stick with it, because ultimately it does come back. And there are some technical measurements in the Dow up as high as 60,000. I don't have a time frame for that, but I'm guessing in the next 2-3 years, I guess that could happen if the right ingredients came into play. But we've already had a huge move, and I'd rather wait for a bigger, you know, bigger correction before betting on a much higher number like that. So, you know, after the election, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen early next year? We have a lot of geopolitical issues, war issues, so much stuff going on out there. I mean, if we did have a big sell-off, it wouldn't surprise me. So for me, I think, you can hold some gold. You can trade some individual stuff that we're doing. But for me, the lion's share of money should be, like, parked into something safe here and see how the storm blows over.
What's going on the cryptocurrency front?
Same thing, pulling back a little bit. GPTC, the crypto ETFs, pulled back here. When you see the big names like NVIDIA and the high-tech names pulling off, that sort of most speculative wild money, and they pulled off. So I think, a lot of the fear in the market, the fear index is, neutral to slightly elevated here, and that affects the crypto, and speculation is running rampant, and everything looks great. The all these speculative, even the cannabis stocks, had a little bit of a pop, thinking that the DEA, I get the government agencies mixed up, DEA was going to reschedule. And then they came out with a statement a few days ago, oh, we're going to wait till after the election, when originally they said July, they would have an indication. So some of the steam was taken out of the cannabis stocks, which start to rally, thinking on the rescheduling, that might be a big play. So, when you asked about Bitcoin, it's the same kind of thing, it just steam sort of came out of it here, I think because of all the reasons we're discussing and the time of year we're in, and the uncertainty on the interest rate and the recession front. So, each dog has its day, and we've talked about how the Bitcoin and the cryptos have these 2-3 year cycles. And despite the fact that those new ETFs were created mostly through the efforts of BlackRock, that the play may be over for a while. Just going to tread a while before it builds steam for another move higher. I ultimately do think they're going higher, but we've had a big run for a while, and they're consolidating here. So the charts will tell us. And I think of a core position in something like the Bitcoin Trust is okay long term. It's like owning gold, just something you're in if you want to participate. But the momentum seems to have been lost here a little bit, Jim. So we're just I wouldn't be aggressive just yet. I would wait to see. Actually, the safer strategy is I would look for another washout in Bitcoin down to the mid-40s. It got down there a few weeks ago on the Mt. Gox story. Or you wait for a breakout above that double top at 73,000 in Bitcoin. And if it did that, you'll probably see a move toward 100,000. So depends on what your cup of tea is in terms of volatility.
Anything happening on the geocosmic front?
Well, there's a lot of stuff. People don't particularly excited about, tying in, geocosmics with what's going on. But, we had a brief example. I mean, we had a new moon, and maybe people don't like me talking about this, but, maybe you like me talking about it. But the bottom line is, there are cycle changes. We saw the market top here just a few days ago within a day of the new moon, and I generally follow the lunar cycles. So that worked out really well. We were talking about that to our subscribers. Watch out. That's coming around September 2nd, and it was a day before that, I believe, when the market actually peaked. And we've got the autumnal equinox coming up here, September 21st, 22nd. And history says markets tend to change direction around the equinoxes and solstices. So we always watch these times of year, and certainly we're seeing some volatility here. And it's funny that the equinox is just around the time the Fed's supposed to talk about interest rates. And the stuff going on the solar front, according to the analysis that I'm reading, solar cycles are continuing for the new highs. And there's a big surge here going on in solar activity. And there's some large sunspots on the far side of the sun that are being written up here. And as the sun rotates, or as those spots turn toward the earth, that supposedly creates a higher incident of solar activity and flares and stuff here on the planet. So they say, according to the research here, the activity continues to intensify. So what does all that mean? Well, there's a solar event. Our gooses are cooked. This is something we can't put into stock market charts or economic forecasts. It's an act of God. So we always just watch this stuff, and we've already seen some of these solar flares affect satellites, and including Starlink, Elon Musk's satellites, and all kinds of fun stuff up there. So we're in high activity. It would be no surprise to me that there's some dramatic solar event, and it causes some devastation here on the planet, totally left field, that nobody really planned or thought could happen. And suddenly we find ourselves in a serious situation in terms of communications and technology and so forth. So, which could affect food supplies and all kinds of fun stuff. So the stuff doesn't, something you just can't predict. It may happen, you know, 1 year or 50 years from now or 100 years from now, but we just watch it. And we've already seen some recent impact of some of the solar activity. So I just keep watching it. And, you know, there are ways you can try to protect yourself, but on a mass scale, if there was a major Carrington event like we saw in the mid-19th century, there's little we could really do here except wait it out and try to, you know, evaluate the damage afterwards. So anyway, that's what's going on out there. You got the seasonal pattern here, September 21st. You just had the new moon, and we'll see what how that all ties in with all this other economic stories and political stuff that's unfolding. But anyway, we keep tracking it, and we're just in this crazy time frame. Like I say, good time to stand aside.
Mark, always fun chatting with you.
It's always fun with chatting with you, too. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.